This paper has focused primarily on the effect network delays have on Bitcoin's security from double spend attacks. In this context, we present Ghost, our suggestion for the modification of the protocol, which helps secure Bitcoin when processing transactions at high rates. Hello, hello, and welcome back to Ethereum Audible, Ethereum In Depth. I am Yoshua Zlatogorsky, and we are continuing our journey down the proof of stake and consensus deep rabbit hole that we've been going down over the past few weeks leading up to Ethereum's merge to proof of stake that's currently looks like it's going to be happening towards the end of September. We have one more testnet that's going to be merging around August 15th. And then probably 4 or 5 weeks later, we're going to be going for the merge. So towards the end of September. And in preparation of that, in celebration of that, I've been doing read-throughs of really the core protocols, the core white papers that go into Ethereum's proof of stake, as well as the risk vectors and factors that are apparent from proof of stake. So we've done a bunch of read-throughs. We've done minor extractable value or maximal extractable value. We've done 3 attacks on proof of stake Ethereum. And from that, we started going down the rabbit hole of what proof of stake on Ethereum actually looks like. So we read through Tendermint, consensus without mining. We read through Casper, the friendly finality gadget, Casper FFG, which is a finality gadget on top of Ethereum's current proof of work and also proof of stake. And today we're going to be reading through the other part of Ethereum's consensus mechanism, because on top of the regular proof of stake system for Ethereum, we have Casper FFG, and then we have something called Ghost LMD. And so today we're going to be reading the origin paper for the Ghost protocol, the Ghost section of Ethereum's proof of stake. And this actually comes from 2 researchers based in Israel called Yonatan Sompolinsky and Aviv Zohar. And this paper that they wrote called Secure High-Rate Transaction Processing in Bitcoin is all about the Ghost protocol in Bitcoin. And then the Ethereum Foundation utilized it for Ethereum 2.0. And so that's what we're going to be reading today. As I've been trying to do over the past few reads, I'm going to intersperse some commentary to make this one more understandable as we go through. And it's basically got 2 main sections. One of them, the introduction and background story, kind of goes into Bitcoin and the Bitcoin consensus. And then the next section, kind of the second half, goes into more technical aspects of Ghost. So as we get towards the second aspect, second part, which is more technical, I'm going to be stopping more often to break things down and make sure that they make sense in audio, even though you can't see the charts. As always, before we dive in, I want to give a shout out to Alp Audio. That's A-L-P-E Audio, which is a wonderful platform for learning things on the go. If you love podcasts or you love audiobooks, but you feel like you just can't get the depth that you need from a course, kind of like here, where sometimes I'll read things on one topic and sometimes I'll dive into another topic and you just want to feel like you've covered something from A to Z, well, that's what Alp Audio gives you. It's audio courses from A to Z so that you can master a topic in depth in the time that you have when you're on the go and really never forget what you've learned, because Alp Audio gives you summaries, flashcards, additional resources to dive into, a transcript, basically everything you need to make the learning stick. So if you're interested in product management, mindfulness, productivity, finances and investing, venture capital, we've got a course on all of those things, as well as bootstrapping and building in public. So if you want to help out the Ethereum Audible podcast, check out alpaudio.com and you won't regret it. So without further ado, let's dive into Secure High-Rate Transaction Processing in Bitcoin by Yonatan Sompolinsky and Aviv Zohar. Abstract. Bitcoin is a disruptive new cryptocurrency based on a decentralized open-source protocol which has been gradually gaining momentum, Perhaps the most important question that will affect Bitcoin's success is whether or not it will be able to scale to support the high volume of transactions required from a global currency system. We investigate the implications of having a higher transaction throughput on Bitcoin's security against double spend attacks. We show that at high throughput, substantially weaker attackers are able to reverse payments they have made, even well after they were considered accepted by recipients. We address this security concern through the Ghost Rule, a modification to the way Bitcoin nodes construct and reorganize the blockchain, Bitcoin's core distributed data structure. Ghost has been adopted, and a variant of it has been implemented as part of the Ethereum project, a second-generation distributed applications platform. 1. Introduction. Bitcoin is a disruptive protocol for distributed digital currency, which relies on cryptographic elements to secure its operation. Since its initial launch in 2009 by its mysterious creator, Satoshi Nakamoto, general interest in the currency has been slowly increasing, and its uses have been slowly expanding. While several obstacles such as regulatory uncertainty and an underdeveloped infrastructure still need to be overcome, the main challenges that must be faced from a computer science perspective are related to Bitcoin's ability to scale to higher transaction rates and to its ability to quickly process individual transactions. This paper aims to address both of these issues and the connections between them and Bitcoin's security against double spend attacks. The core idea behind the Bitcoin protocol is to replace the centralized control of money transmission ordinarily taken up by large organizations such as banks, credit card companies, and other money transmitters by a large peer-to-peer network. The nodes of this network verify each other's work and thus ensure that no single entity is able to misbehave. Bitcoin achieves this by maintaining a complete and public record of all its transactions at each node in the network. This ledger, which is known as the blockchain, is composed of a growing sequence of blocks, each containing a set of approved transactions. The main challenge that Bitcoin overcomes is the synchronization of the ledger between the various nodes. Malicious parties may further try to interfere with the synchronization in order to double spend, to redirect previously processed payments that will allow them to use the same money twice. To help solve the double spend problem, blocks are required to contain a proof of work, which is computationally difficult to generate. The difficulty of this task is adaptively set so that a block is created approximately once every 10 minutes in the entire network. Once created, blocks are propagated through the network. The 10-minute interval allows blocks to usually propagate to the vast majority of nodes before another block is created. If a node receives two conflicting blocks, which were created by distant nodes unaware of each other's work, or perhaps by a malicious attacker, it resolves the conflict by picking the block pertaining to the longest blockchain and adopting it. Satoshi Nakamoto's original analysis of the protocol shows that as long as any attacker holds less than 50% of the computational power in the network, the probability that double spend attacks succeed decreases exponentially with time, which essentially allows payments to be considered accepted and irreversible after some period. The analysis, however, assumes that blocks are sent across the network much faster than they are created, and so it is ill-fitted to a scenario in which many transactions are processed by the network, which necessitates the frequent creation of larger blocks taking longer to transmit. Indeed, capacity for additional transaction processing in Bitcoin is very much needed. As of December 2014, Bitcoin's network processes around 90,000 transactions per day, a number which has been slowly growing, but still amounts to an average of roughly one transaction per second. In contrast, Visa's global payment system handled a reported 150 million transactions per day in 2010, which is just under 2,000 transactions per second, and has grown steadily since. If Bitcoin is not able to scale to appropriate rates that match demand, transaction fees will rise, and users will be driven to use other forms of payment. Bitcoin's current low number of transactions is mainly due to its small user base. Once adoption increases, the system will need to scale to process transactions at a higher rate, and previous security guarantees may no longer hold. We investigate how susceptible the protocol is to double spend attacks when more transactions are processed per second. We note that larger block sizes, or more frequent block creation events, which are required in order to increase the transaction throughput, result in more conflicts between blocks, which severely reduces the level of security from attacks. To mitigate this, some methods for block compression were suggested by members in the Bitcoin community, for example, transmitting only transaction hashes and blocks, which is an almost 16-fold reduction in size, or applying invertible Bloom lookup tables to communicate the differences between the subsets of transaction nodes are aware of. Another approach is to use trustless off-chain transaction channels that slowly release money in minute proportions to another party by updating a transaction that is only committed to the blockchain once a reasonable sum of money has been transferred. This approach has some downsides. Money must be locked and is unusable for the duration of the channel's existence. It only allows the aggregation of transactions between two parties that maintain a channel. And finally, it is not always useful for other protocols built on top of blockchains, such as Ethereum, where individual updates cannot be aggregated in a similar fashion. We suggest an alternative to the longest chain rule called Ghost that changes the conflict resolution procedure for the blockchain. Ghost selects at each fork in the chain the heaviest subtree rooted at the fork. This protocol modification alleviates the above-mentioned security problem and will help blockchain-based protocols grow further. A variant of Ghost has been adopted and implemented by the Ethereum Project, a second-generation distributed applications platform that has recently received a great deal of attention. To best utilize the capacity of the blockchain, all solutions should ideally be combined. Our own improvement, Ghost, can be seen as a modification which allows an increase in the protocol's blockchain commitments, which in turn will allow more transactions to take place at lower costs. A second aspect of our work involves the time until the transaction is authorized. As blocks are currently created on average once every 10 minutes, a given transaction is only included in the chain after a relatively long amount of time. Several alternative currencies that have forked the Bitcoin source code have modified this parameter and have set lower block creation rates. We explore and quantify the security implications of such choices, from lower resilience to attacks to the required waiting time for a transaction to be considered accepted. It is important to note that in addition to the decreasing difficulty of a double spend attack, several other issues appear at high transaction rates. First, miners that are better connected to the network enjoy rewards slightly larger than their share of the hashing power. And second, the selfish mining strategy explored by Eyal and Sir can be employed by weaker miners. Both of these issues remain unsolved by the Ghost protocol alone. In a companion paper, we explore an additional modification compatible with Ghost that lowers the advantage of highly connected miners and provides an additional increase in throughput. Section 2. Basics of the Bitcoin Protocol. The Blockchain. Bitcoin uses a public ledger to record the entire transaction history, which essentially consists of a sequence of blocks, the blockchain. New blocks are created from time to time and are added successively to the ledger. Each block contains the transactions that have occurred since the last block and a cryptographic hash of the previous block in the sequence, which identifies the predecessor uniquely. A transaction is considered confirmed only once it is contained in some block which appears in the public log. The creation rate of blocks is set by requiring each block to contain a proof of work in its header, in the form of a solution to a computationally difficult problem, like finding partial SHA-256 hash collisions. The problem depends on the most recent block, and is solved by randomly trying different inputs, thus ensuring some random time lag between successful block creation events. The reader is referred to the Bitcoin white paper for a full explanation of the proof-of-work mechanism. As the blockchain, which represents the state of all accounts, is kept locally at each node, it is imperative that any update to the state of accounts will be propagated to the entire network. Nodes which receive a transaction verify its validity and send it in turn to all their neighbors. Similarly, nodes which receive a new block check its validity, as in its compatibility with all preceding blocks, and transmit it to their neighbors. The formation and resolution of forks. Successive blocks are not necessarily built atop one another, and thus they form a block tree rather than a single chain. One reason for the existence of forks is the delay in the network. It is possible for two blocks to be created at about the same time by far away nodes in the network, in which case neither will point at the other as its parent, and a fork occurs. When faced with several internally consistent blockchains, each node in the network is required to adopt only one as the valid account of transactions, the main chain. Bitcoin's rule is simple. Pick the longest chain, or in case of ties, keep the one you received first. An important property of the longest chain selection rule is that as time passes, all the nodes in the network will adopt the same main chain. Indeed, in order for a fork in the block tree to last, two fractions of the network need to successively create new blocks at about the same times, a series of events which becomes rarer as time develops. In addition to delays, forks can also occur due to a malicious deviation of a node from the protocol. An attacker may choose to extend any arbitrary block and generate forks. The protocol cannot and does not deal with these forks differently than with delay-induced ones. If the attacker manages to present a longer chain of blocks, this chain will be accepted by other nodes in the network, and the previous main chain will be abandoned. Double spend attacks. This method of overriding the main chain can be used by an attacker to reverse transactions, a scheme called a double spend attack. The attacker may pay some merchant and then secretly create a chain of blocks without this payment that is longer than the network's. By releasing his chain, he can trigger the replacement in the ledger, which effectively erases the transaction, or redirects the payment elsewhere. The computational effort required to create each block makes this attack a difficult undertaking, since the honest nodes usually have a great deal of computational power, and the attacker must get very lucky if he is to replace long chains. However, if an attacker holds enough computational power, he is able to generate blocks fast enough to bypass the main chain and override it, according to the longest chain selection rule. This enables him to reverse any transaction that appears in the chain at will. Specifically, if the attacker has more computational power than the rest of the network combined, he is able to generate blocks at a higher rate than the honest nodes and eventually to replace chains of arbitrary length. This stronger form of attack is known in Bitcoin jargon as the 50% attack. Section 3, the model. And in this section, I'm not going to read word for word because there are quite a lot of mathematical annotations throughout, so I'll try and best explain in my own words. We model the Bitcoin network as a directed graph of G, which is composed of V and E, where V are the nodes and their computational power, and E are the edges of the network. Each individual node V in the network generates blocks according to a Poisson process, with a rate of PV, which is the processing power of that node, times lambda, so that the entire network combined generates blocks at a Poisson process with the rate of lambda. In the context of a network under attack, the attacker must have more computational power than the lambda of the honest nodes in the network's block creation rate. The attacker's rate is denoted relative to the honest network. In contrast to the honest network, we assume that the attacker is creating long chains efficiently. Its blocks are always built on top of one another. For every block B, we denote by time B its absolute creation time. The blocks essentially form a time-developing tree structure that is rooted at the genesis block, the first block created at the moment of Bitcoin's inception. We denote the structure of this tree at time t by tree t and by subtree b, the subtree rooted at b. Finally, the depth of block b in the tree will be denoted by the depth of b. So just to recap that, we have the height, we have the depth, and it all goes back to the genesis. The structure of the block tree is affected by the blocks that nodes point to as their parent and extend. Formally, we model this choice as a function. Every node may possess a different view of the tree. It may not have heard of all created blocks, and thus applies its function to its currently known tree. The Bitcoin protocol currently requires nodes to build new blocks at the end of the longest chain that is known to them. Accordingly, we denote by longest T the deepest leaf in tree T. Unless explicitly stated otherwise, we assume nodes follow this rule. The term main chain will correspond to the path from the genesis block to the leaf that is selected for extension, usually the longest T. The main chain is considered by nodes to be the single accepted version of transaction history. Its growth rate is therefore one of the core measures of the system's performance. Formally, the time it takes the main chain to advance from length of n-1 to n is a random variable that we denote as tn. And this random time, by the way, is the time to find the proof of work for the next block. Another parameter embedded in the protocol is the maximal block size, denoted by b. We assume throughout the paper that there is high demand for transaction processing and that blocks are always full to the limit. Finally, we define the primary measure of Bitcoin scalability as the number of transactions per second, TPS, the system adds to the history, the main chain, in expectation. 4. Reduced security at high throughput. In this section, we explain why the Bitcoin protocol becomes more susceptible to double spend attacks when its throughput is increased. Assume an attacker creates blocks at a rate of Q times the lambda of the honest nodes. If that Q times the rate of honest node block creation is greater than the growth rate of the network's main chain, which we'll call beta, the attacker will always be successful given enough time, regardless of the current length of the chain it aims to bypass and replace. Conversely, if Q is lesser than the rate of propagation of new blocks on the main chain, the probability of the attacker's chain bypassing the main chain decreases exponentially as the main chain grows in length. We therefore think of the ratio of beta divided by the lambda of honest nodes as the security threshold of the system. The throughput of the protocol is affected by the two elementary parameters, the block creation rate lambda and the block size of b. The difficulty of the computational problem which is required to create a valid block can be lowered in order to accelerate the block creation process. Similarly, larger blocks can be allowed to propagate if one wishes to increase the block size. A naive attempt at increasing the throughput can be made by simply increasing both parameters. We argue that both of these modifications lead to an increased number of forks in the block tree, which in turn leads to a reduction of the security threshold of the system. In other words, attackers can perform effective attacks with less computational power once the throughput is increased. Larger blocks. Indeed, while a node has not yet learned of the latest addition to the main chain, any block that it creates will not add to that chain, but rather contribute to a less updated alternative branch. Thus, as the block size is increased, blocks naturally take longer to propagate through the network. Hence, more forks occur. This observation is well supported by a measurement study conducted by Decker and Wadenhofer, who have measured block propagation delays in the Bitcoin network. Figure 1, which is based on raw data that they have generously shared with us, depicts a clear linear relation between the block size and its propagation time. Accelerated block creation. Similarly, if block creation is accelerated, more blocks are being created by the honest network. That means a larger lambda of the honest chain, while the most recent blocks in the main chain is propagated. Again, these blocks will often be created by nodes that are not fully up to date and will not extend the longest chain. The attacker, on the other hand, also creates blocks faster, but does not suffer from a loss of efficiency. Reduced security. In both cases described above, blocks that are created to not always contribute to the lengthening of the main chain, which makes it easier for an attacker to replace it. Figure 3 illustrates a scenario in which a highly forked block tree was created by the honest network. The attacker secretly creates a chain of 6 blocks, which is clearly longer than the network's longest chain. If a block propagation was faster, in relation to the creation rate, all blocks in the honest network's tree would form a single long chain and would not be overtaken by the attacker. And I'll just describe here figure 3, which is basically we have the genesis block. And from the genesis block, we have an honest block, 1b. And from 1b, we actually have forks, because 1b doesn't, the next block doesn't propagate at the same rate. And therefore, from 1b, we have 2d, 2c, and 2b, where 2 is basically the height, and d, c, and b are kind of the trees, the forks that come from that original 1b block. And because we now have 3 forks, each one of those propagates to its neighbors. That's what the gossip protocol does. And therefore, if they mine successfully, then they are built on, those blocks are built on the forks. And therefore, overall, even though we might have a longer, we might have more hashing power or a lot of hashing power in the fork, it's less efficient because we've created many blocks that are wasted. Whereas the attacker, who's building a seeker chain, he's always building a chain that's one on top of the other. And therefore, they have no forks. They have no wasted hash power. All of their blocks are linked in one chain. Section 5. The greedy, heaviest observed subtree. Ghost. Right? Greedy is G. Heaviest is H. Observed is O. Subtree is S and T. That's the what ghost stands for. In this section, we present our main contribution to the protocol, a new policy for the selection of the main chain in the block tree. The advantage of the suggested change to the protocol is that it maintains the security threshold for successful 50% attacks at 1, rather than the equation we had earlier of beta divided by the lambda of the honest nodes, which is the block propagation rate divided by the honest node hashing power. Even if the network suffers from extreme delays and the attacker does not. This allows the protocol designer to set high block creation rates and large block sizes without the fear of approaching the 50% attack cliff edge, which in turn implies that a high transaction throughput can be securely maintained. The basic observation behind the protocol modification that we suggest is that blocks that are off the main chain can still contribute to its weight. Consider, for example, the block tree that I just described in Figure 3, where block 1b is supported by blocks 2b, 2c, and 2d that extend it directly and include it in their chains. Similarly, blocks 3c, 3d, and 3e support both 1b and 2c as part of their chain. Now, I know you can't see the figure, but imagine there is the genesis block. From it, there are two branches. There is 1a, which is the attacker's chain, and there's 1b, which is the honest node majority chain. 1b gets three separate branches. That is 1b, 2c, 2b, and 2d. And those are all built on 1b. They all include 1b as their parent block. Now, each one of those leaves, those branches, those forks, they have blocks that are built on top of them. And also those blocks, they all include 1b as their parent block. So 1b gets a lot of weight in the system. The heaviest subtree protocol, we suggest, makes use of this fact and adds additional weight to the blocks, helping to ensure that they will be part of the main chain. Recall our definition from Section 3. Any node chooses the parent of its next block according to a policy that maps a tree to a block, which essentially represents the main chain. Formally, our new protocol is a new parent selection policy. This new policy redefines the main chain, which is what should be regarded as the valid branch of transaction history. For a block B in a block tree of T, then let the subtree of B be the subtree rooted at B, and let the children be the set of blocks directly referencing B as their parent. Now, if that sentence was unclear, just remember back to what I said 2 minutes ago, where we have all of these children blocks, and even though they're from different branches, from different forks, they all lead back to one parent block, which is 1b. The algorithm follows a path from the root of the tree, the genesis block, and chooses at each fork the block leading to the heaviest subtree. In the tree depicted in Figure 3, for instance, the subtree of block 1b contains 12 blocks, whereas that of 1a contains only 6. The algorithm will thus pick 1b as belonging to the main chain, and proceed to resolve the forks inside subtree 1b. This will result the choice of blocks 0, 1b, 2c, 3d, 4b as the main chain of the tree, and not the longest chain ending in block 5b. This makes forks inside the subtree rooted at 1b of no consequence to the weight of block 1b itself. Every addition of a block to subtree 1b makes it harder to omit it from the main chain. In particular, when the attacker publishes its 6 blocks long secret chain, the same blocks as before remains in the main chain. Now, let me just recap that in my own words. Basically, The Nakamoto rule, the Bitcoin white paper rule, says that we go for the longest blockchain out of the assumption that that chain has the most hashing power, the most proof of work to it, therefore it is the most secure. And what Ghost is proposing, what Ghost modifies, is that we don't go for the longest chain because that might not be the best relevant metric for the most hash power or the most proof of work or proof of stake. We go for the heaviest one and we assign each block a weight. And that weight is determined by how many other blocks reference it as its parent. And this assumes that the honest majority mines blocks or propagates blocks less efficiently than an attacker because the gossip protocol takes time to propagate to the entire network, whereas an attacker always builds one on top of the other. And so even though they could have the longest chain, as in the attacker, they don't necessarily have the most proof of work or proof of stake behind that chain. And that's what Ghost gives you. It gives you the, and that's why it's called the greedy heaviest observed subtree. Like all of a sudden that acronym makes sense because we're going for the heaviest observed subtree to determine what the real chain is. Section 5.1, basic properties of Ghost. It is imperative to first show that all nodes eventually adopt the same history when following Ghost. For every block B, define by the earliest moment at which it was either abandoned by all nodes or adopted by them all, we call the adoption of a block by all nodes the collapse of the fork. Proposition 2, called the convergence of history, states that, in other words, every block is eventually either fully abandoned or fully adopted. And what this means, switching away from the reading for a second, is that every block is either an orphan and therefore completely an orphan and fully abandoned, or it's fully adopted by the heaviest observed subtree. I'm going to skip over the proof of proposition 2 and continue to proposition 3, which is we now show the main advantage of the Ghost chain selection rule, namely that it is resilient to 50% attacks, even at high rates or with significant delays in the network. By waiting a sufficiently long period of time after the block's creation, the probability that its status will change from accepted to abandoned can be made arbitrarily small. And I'm going to skip over the proof for this statement as well, but intuitively it should make sense because just like in proof of work, where there is a diminishing probability, an exponentially diminishing probability of the longest chain being hacked, or more correctly, being overtaken by another chain, as in if your block has been subsumed and built upon into 4, 5, 6, 7, 10, 15, 20 other blocks, there is an exponentially decreasing chance that your block will be orphaned by another chain. And that's how it works in proof of work. The principle remains the same here. It's just instead of the length and how many blocks are directly built on top of it, it's the weight, which is the equivalent of the hash power built into it. And that's the kind of intuitive thought behind the proof. The rate of collapse in Ghost. In subsection 5.1, we have discussed the collapse time for any block B and its implications to the growth and convergence of the main chain in Ghost. Long-living forks imply longer waiting times until the entire network contributes confirmations to a block, and further implies long waiting times for transaction authorization. It can prove useful to further investigate how fast the collapse at B occurs. We do this for a simple model including only two forks, each with equal contributing computational power. Even this seemingly simple case proves to be non-trivial. And there's a theorem here, which I'm also going to skip over. And the theorem gives an upper bound for the special configuration of two nodes. We conjecture, however, that it is the worst case scenario, and that in general setups, collapses occur even faster. See the full online proof version. And just to explain that part, in a proof of work in the longest chain that Bitcoin has, when you could, in theory, have two chains running in parallel, that every 10 minutes, each one finds a new block, and they never achieve being the longest chain. They're always approximately the same length or close enough to the same length that they maintain that parity. And therefore, there could be a natural fork in the Bitcoin blockchain. Now, the odds of that happening and staying in that state over time is very, very, very small because of the random nature of finding the next block, assuming the hash power that's given. And that's what this theorem here is trying to figure out. It's trying to figure out that same question, which is, if you have a network with two nodes that equally create blocks with kind of the same weightings, how long would that state remain? Okay, so here, once again, I'm going to skip part of the paper. This is section 8, Ghost Implementation Details. Below, we outline some additional details about the use and implementation of the ghost chain selection rule. Links to multiple parents. As our protocol requires knowledge of off-chain blocks by all nodes, we propose that their headers, but not necessarily their entire contents, be propagated to all nodes. Information about off-chain blocks can then be embedded inside each block by simply listing the hashes of other childless blocks it's aware of. Deployment. At low block creation rates and with small block sizes, both ghost and the conventional longest chain rule behave the same. All blocks will simply be on a single long chain. Differences between the two rules appear only at high throughputs. The adoption of ghost can therefore be gradual at low transaction rates. Nodes will be partially compatible with the longest chain version, as long as transaction rates do not increase. Additional references to block headers can be placed inside fields that the regular protocol currently ignores, and so backward compatibility can be maintained. This point, however, is of little importance. Increasing Bitcoin's block size, or the block creation rate, will require a hard fork in the protocol. Consequently, for these changes to take place, a majority of the mining power needs to accept them. Retargeting difficulty adjustment. Given potentially complex relations between the growth rate of the main chain and the rate of created blocks, and the fact that the ghost depends more on the total rate of block creation, we suggest a change in the way automatic difficulty adjustments to the proof of work are done. Instead of targeting a certain rate of growth for the longest chain, we suggest that the total rate of block creation be kept constant, which can be done as the information on the entire block tree is available following the links to all ancestor blocks. Notice that the relation between the rate of growth for the longest chain and the difficulty is highly complex, and so Bitcoin's current targeting mechanism will malfunction at high rates. Fees and minted coins. While Ghost does make use of off-chain blocks to secure the protocol, we believe it is best to allocate minted coins only to the creators of blocks that are on the main chain, similarly to how the longest chain rules works today. The rate of minting can be adjusted independently from the block creation rate, but in a very similar way, by adjusting the amount of minted coins per block given the measured number of blocks in the recent past. A companion paper on inclusive protocols discusses the inclusion of transactions from blocks that are off the main chain and the allocation of related fees. Preventing amplified denial of service attacks. As each block in Bitcoin is sent to the entire network by the nodes themselves, any burst of blocks may disrupt the network. Attackers are naturally limited in their ability to create recent blocks due to the proof of work requirement, but may try to create blocks off chain that are built upon blocks in the distant path, when the difficulty level was low. This issue is handled by the current implementation using checkpoints, points in the main chain before which no additional off chain blocks are accepted. Other mechanisms that involve probabilistic proofs of combined difficulty for large chains that go back too far in the past have also been suggested. Both solutions can be adapted to Ghost as well. Additional related work, Section 9. The original security analysis done by Satoshi has been improved in a white paper published by Menny Rosenfeld. Several papers have looked at incentive concerns related to the operation of the protocol, examining issues related to transaction propagation, selfish mining, and the distribution of rewards within mining pools. Other works on Bitcoin have looked at its privacy aspects, including analysis of its transaction graph, which allows to de-anonymize some of its users. The Zerocoin protocol has been offered as a way to improve anonymity. Our work deals, among other issues, with enabling fast confirmations for transactions in the network. A paper by Karam discusses similar issues that relate to possible attacks on nodes
that accept zero confirmation transactions, they suggest several countermeasures that may help avoid such attacks. Their work does not deal with an attack by an adversary with a significant block creation rate, which can compute alternative chains on its own. A paper closely related to ours is one that was published by Decker and Wadenhofer, in which they present a measurement study of message propagation times in the Bitcoin network. They associate delays with the creation of forks in the block tree and with an increased vulnerability to the 50% attack. As far as we are aware, no other work addresses the issue of Bitcoin's scalability or its security in a network with delayed block propagation. Section 10, Conclusion. This paper has focused primarily on the effect network delays have on Bitcoin's security from double spend attacks. In this context, we present Ghost, our suggestion for the modification of the protocol, which helps secure Bitcoin when processing transactions at high rates. Regarding the current state of the protocol, we have given some theoretical security guarantees that can be applicable even if limited information is known about the network topology. Our results underscore the importance of the health of the network to Bitcoin's security and scalability. Many additional research questions should be addressed in light of our results. How should the block creation rate and block size dynamically adjust to changing network conditions? Additionally, in Bitcoin, so-called simplified protocol verification nodes can operate without downloading the entire blockchain. If we are to increase the number of blocks per second, their job becomes harder. It is therefore of great interest to create light nodes that can, for example, verify the blockchain probabilistically without needing to download all headers. Finally, it can be shown that in networks with delay that operate at high rates, large miners get more than their fair share of the blocks, an effect that skews rewards in favor of large miners and slowly pushes the system towards a more centralized one. One way to mitigate the problem, which can be applied to Ghost as well, is presented in a companion paper on inclusive protocols. And that is Secure High-Rate Transaction Processing in Bitcoin by Yonatan Sompolinski and Aviv Zohar. And what I found really interesting about this paper is, first of all, just that it's about Bitcoin, not Ethereum. A lot of the work in Web3 is built upon each other, which I personally really like, but also just how complicated consensus mechanisms are. Because probably until reading this paper, at least for me, it never occurred to me really that there is this problem where the longest chain isn't foolproof to the same extent that I had thought, as in there's this problem where an attacker is always building super efficiently, whereas the defenders, the honest nodes, are not necessarily building efficiently. And there could be a case where, because of just pure random or network delays, where the honest majority builds on two or three different forks and that hash power goes to waste. And so you need a way to kind of figure out what's the real chain, and the longest one isn't necessarily the safest choice. I think this work is really elegant in coming to kind of a weighting measurement instead of the longest one. And it's really, at least in my mind, an example of, I know we, in the Bitcoin community, at least, it's very common to think of the Bitcoin white paper as kind of immaculate conception. It's perfect. The fact that it's, you know, shouldn't be changed is a feature, not a bug. And yeah, that's a little bit far-fetched because Bitcoin has definitely implemented different changes over the years, just not that many. And kind of messing with the proof of work is really a no-no. It's a taboo. By the way, if anyone out there who's listening to this knows if Ghost was implemented or where the discussions are about implementing it, I'd be really interested to kind of read those. I searched around for a bit. I couldn't find them in Bitcoin forums or Reddit or things like that. So if anyone knows where to point me, that would be great. And just kind of at me at Twitter, at Yehoshziel or at Ethereum Audible on Twitter and let us know, because that would be fantastic to read. But in general, just going back to the consensus is really complicated. There are all kinds of different scenarios and edge cases, and even when we think that something is simple and elegant, like the longest chain is the proof of work that we're going to go with, all of a sudden, hey, just so you know, when you increase the transaction rate, when you increase the throughput, and there is network latency, you might end up in a situation where there are a lot of forks and a lot of subtrees. Now, in Bitcoin today, with the increasing hash rate and with the 10-minute delay between blocks, this is less of a problem. But for Ethereum, where blocks occur every 12 to 15 seconds, and they are kind of done at random, and if someone misses their slot, you can kind of go back a slot. Like, there's a lot of variables in what block you're building on. This is a real problem, and that's why they need to implement something like Ghost in the Ethereum proof-of-work and proof-of-stake chains, because the problem of forks and forking trees and branches and leaves, I love all this botany references, it's a real problem. And so you need to work with something like Ghost to adapt to it. Ethereum specifically works with Ghost LMD, latest message driven, which is something that we'll get into when we read the Gasper protocol. Basically, Gasper is where you combine Casper Finality, Casper FFG, with Ghost LMD. And if you remember our three attacks on Ethereum read through, Ghost, this one, is really built for small local events, whereas Casper is really built for longer time horizons, finality across epochs and slots, and Ghost is really around local branches. And if you have three forks, and on top of those, each one forks once or twice, which local branch do you choose to continue building on? So that's how you should think about them. Casper FFG is for longer time horizons, Ghost LMD is for shorter time horizons, and when we read through Gasper, which is the protocol that combines them two, it should start to come together. But if there was one thing that I do want you to remember from this read-through, it's basically that picking the longest chain doesn't always work in proof-of-work or in proof-of-stake, and forking is a problem. Also on a larger scale for a 51% attack, but also on a shorter, smaller scale for more localized orphan blocks. And unless a way is found to do block selection in, or proposer selection in, a way that's better than proof-of-work or the random selection of proof-of-stake, the problem of forks continues to exist. Now, there are some chains that propose that they've solved this. Algorand is one of those. Ethereum also has some work on this, and that has to do with paths towards single slot finality, and basically where you know that the proposer who built the block and proposed it to the network, that's the only one there is. There are no forks. And this has to do with math and randomization functions, but we'll get into that on some later read-through. But until that problem is solved of how do you propose the block proposer, and you know that it's the only one who gets to propose a block, you have an issue with multiple block proposers and the possibility of a fork. And when those forks are a possibility, you have some probability of an attack on the chain. And what this paper brings to the fore is really that the longest chain can sometimes be the malicious one. And therefore, we want to go with the rule of the longest chain in terms of hashing power, in terms of work that's been done on it. And the way that they analyze that is based on weight. And that's why we go with the greediest, heaviest observed subtree, or Ghost.